I'm still, this the Holy Week, 1937. There's Monday of Holy Week. I asked the Lord to let me take part in His sorrowful passion, that I might experience in soul and body to the extent that this is possible for a creature. His bitter passion, I ask to experience all the bitterness insofar as this was possible. If the Lord answered that He would give me this grace, and then on Thursday, after Holy Communion, He will grant this in a special way. This evening, a certain young man was dying. He was suffering terribly. For his intention, I began to say the chaplet which the Lord had taught me. I said it all, but the agony continued. I wanted to start a litany of the saints, but suddenly I heard the words, "Say the chaplet." I understood that the soul needed the special help of prayers and great mercy. And so I locked myself in my room and fell prostrate before God and begged for mercy upon that soul. Then I felt the great majesty of God and His great justice. I trembled to fear, but did not stop begging the Lord's mercy for that soul. Then I took the cross off my breast. The crucifix I had received when making my vows, and I put it on the chest of the dying man and said to the Lord, "Jesus, look on this soul with the same love with which you looked on my Holocaust on the day of my perpetual vows, and by the power of the promise which you made to me in respect to the dying and those who would invoke your mercy on them, grant this man the grace of a happy death." His suffering then ceased, and he died peacefully. Oh, how much we would pray for the dying. Let us take advantage of mercy while there is still time for mercy. Of course, not only for time of dying, always preparing ourselves, no? Don't wait until you die and then get somebody pray for you. It might be too late sometimes. I realize more and more how much every soul needs God's mercy throughout life, and particularly at the hour of death. This chaplet mitigates God's anger, as He Himself told me. Wonderful, just feel the simple words. I find myself so weak that were it not for Holy Communion, I would fall continually. One thing alone sustains me, and that is Holy Communion. From it I draw my strength. In it is all my comfort. I fear life on days when I do not receive Holy Communion. I fear my own self. Jesus concealed in it, in the host, is everything to me. From the tabernacle, I draw strength, power, courage, and light. Here I seek consolation in time of anguish. I would not know how to give glory to God if I did not have the Eucharist in my heart. My beloved native land, Poland, if you only knew how many sacrifices and prayers I offered to God for you. But be watchful and give glory to God, who lifts you up and singles you out in a special way. But know how to be grateful. I suffer great pain at the sight of the sufferings of others. All these sufferings are reflected in my heart. I carry their torments in my heart so that it even wears me out physically. I would like all pains to fall upon me so as to bring relief to my neighbor. Amid terrible torments, I fix my eyes on you, my God. And though a storm is gathering over my head, I know that the sun is not extinguished. Nor do I wonder at the deceitfulness of creatures, but accept in advance, whatever may happen. My lips are silent, while my ears are saturated with derision. I strive for silence in my heart amidst the greatest suffering, and I protect myself against all attacks with the shield of your name. An ardent desire for this feast is burning up my whole soul. In fervent prayer for the hastening of the feast, I find some relief, and I've begun a novena for the intention of certain priests that God may grant them light and inspiration to apply it for the promulgation of this feast, and that the Spirit of God inspire the Holy Father regarding the entire matter. The novena consists of an hour of adoration before the Blessed Sacrament. I've implored God to hasten this feast, and I've asked the Holy Spirit to inspire certain people regarding this whole matter. I'm finishing this novena on Holy Thursday. This special feast, I think it's the Sunday of the Divine Mercy. March 23rd, 1937. Today is the seventh day of the novena. I've received a great and inconceivable grace. The most merciful Jesus has promised that I will be present at the celebration of the solemn feast. This day, the 23rd, that is the Tuesday Holy Week, is a day on which the Lord has granted me many graces. Suddenly, God's presence took hold of me, and at once I saw myself in Rome, in the Holy Father's chapel, and at the same time I was in our chapel. At the celebration of the Holy Father, the entire church was closely connected with our chapel, and in a very special way, with our congregation. And I took part in the solemn celebration simultaneously, here and in Rome. For the celebration was so closely connected with Rome that even as I write, I cannot distinguish the two, but I'm writing it down as I saw it. I saw the Lord Jesus in our chapel, exposed in the monstrance on the high altar. The chapel was adorned as for a feast, and on that day, anyone who wanted to come was allowed in. The crowd was so enormous that I could not take it all in. Everyone was participating in celebration with great joy, and many of them obtained what they desired. The same celebration was held in Rome in a beautiful church, and the Holy Father with all the clergy was celebrating this feast. And then suddenly I saw St. Peter, who stood between the altar and the Holy Father. I could not hear what St. Peter said, but I saw that the Holy Father understood his words. Then some clergymen, whom I did not know, began to examine me and to humiliate me, or rather, what I had written. But I saw how Jesus himself was defending me in giving them to understand what they did not know. I think documents are sent to Rome under investigation. So it's not easy. Word for word, phrase from phrase. So then suddenly I saw how the two rays as painted in the image issued from the host and spread over the whole world. This lasted only a moment, but it seems as though it had lasted all day. And our chapel was overcrowded all day long, and the whole day abound in joy. Then suddenly, I saw on the altar the living God, the living Lord Jesus, just as he is depicted in the image. Yet, I felt that the sisters and all the people did not see the Lord Jesus as I saw him. Jesus looked with great kindness and joy at the Holy Father, at certain priests, at the entire clergy, at the people, and at our congregation. Then in an instant, I was caught up to stand near Jesus, and I stood on the altar next to the Lord Jesus, and my spirit was filled with a happiness so great that I am unable to comprehend it or write about it. A profound peace as well as repose filled my soul. Jesus bent toward me and said with great kindness, "What is it your desire, my daughter?" And I answered, "I desire worship and glory be given to your mercy. I already am receiving worship by the institution and celebration of this feast. What else do you desire?" I then looked at the immense crowd worshipping the divine mercy, and I said to the Lord, "Jesus, bless all those who are gathered to give glory to you and to venerate your infinite mercy." Jesus made a sign of the cross with his hand, and this blessing was reflected in the souls like a flash of light. My spirit was engulfed in his love. I felt as if I had dissolved and disappeared completely in God. When I came to myself, a profound peace was flooding my soul, and an extraordinary understanding of many things was communicated to my intellect, an understanding that had not been granted me previously. I'm immensely happy, although I'm the least of all, and I would not change anything of what God has given me. I would not want to change places even with a seraph, as regards the interior knowledge of God, which he himself has given me. The intimate knowledge I have of the Lord is such as no creature can comprehend, particularly the depth of his mercy that envelops me. I'm happy with everything you give me. March 24, 1937, Wednesday of the Holy Week. My heart is languishing for God. I decide to become united with him. A faint fear pierces my soul, and at the same time, a kind of flame of love sets my heart on fire. Love and suffering are united in my heart. So suffering and love together, eh? Don't just take suffering. Put love together, whatever we experience. Many times we experience suffering, right? Together with love, together with Jesus. One mind, one heart to offer. Otherwise, you lose the chances. I've felt great sufferings in my body, but I feel the Lord is upholding me, for otherwise I would not be able to bear it. Oh my Jesus, thank you on behalf of the whole church. Grant it love and light of your spirit, and give power to the words of peace, so that hardened hearts may be brought to repentance and return to you, O Lord. Lord, give me holy priests. You yourself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of your mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of your mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanity of priests, for you can do all things. Pray for the priests too, and you need that. March 25th, 1937, Holy Thursday. special day. During Holy Week Mass, I saw the Lord who said to me, "Lean your head on my breast and rest," like St. John, the Apostle. Lay his head on the breast of Jesus. "Do not press me to his heart," and said, "I shall give you a small portion of my passion. But do not be afraid. Be brave. Do not seek relief, but accept everything with submission to my will." She'd been warned before, eh? She liked to have to share the suffering with Jesus. Just give, but don't be afraid. "When Jesus was taking leave of me, such great pain filled my soul that it is impossible to express it. Physical strength left me. I left the chapel quickly and went to bed. I was oblivious of what was going on around me. My soul was filled with longing for the Lord, and all the bitterness of his divine heart was imparted to me. This lasted for about 3 hours. I asked the Lord to protect me from the eyes of those around me. Although I wanted to, I could not take any food all day until evening." She didn't explain how she was suffering. "I earnestly desired to spend the whole night with Jesus in the dark prison cell. I pray until evening at 11 o'clock. At 11, the Lord said to me, 'Lie down and take your rest. I've let you experience in 3 hours what I suffered during the whole night.' And immediately I went to bed. I had no physical strength left. The suffering had deprived me of it completely. Throughout all this time, I've been a sort of swoon. Every bit of Jesus' heart was reflected in my heart and pierced my soul. If these tortures had concerned me only, I would have suffered less. But as I look at the one whom my heart has loved with all its might and saw that he was suffering and that I could not bring him any relief, my heart dissolved in love and bitterness. I was dying with him, and I could not die, but would not have exchanged that martyrdom for all the pleasures in the whole world. In the course of this suffering, my soul, my love, grew immeasurably. I know that the Lord was supporting me with his omnipotence, for otherwise I would not have been able to endure it for even a moment. Together with him, I underwent in a very special way all the various tortures. The world still had no idea of what all that Jesus suffered. I accompanied him to the Garden of Gethsemane. I stayed with him in the prison. I went with him before the judges. I underwent with him each of the tortures. Not a single one of his movements or looks escaped my notice. I came to know all the omnipotence of his love and of his mercy towards souls. March 26, 1937, Friday. In the morning, I at once felt the torture of his 5 wounds in my body. This suffering continued until 3 o'clock. Although there is no outward sign of it, the torture is no less painful. I am glad that Jesus is protecting me from people's eyes. So suffer all the feet. At 11 o'clock, Jesus said to me, "My host, you are refreshment for my tormented heart." I thought after these words, then my heart would burn up. And he brought me into such close intimacy with himself that my heart was exposed to his heart in a loving union, and I could feel the faintest stir of his heart and he of mine. The fire of my created love was joined to the ardor of his eternal love. This one grace surpasses all others in its immensity. His Trinitarian being envelops me entirely, and I'm totally immersed in him. My littleness is, as it were, wrestling with this immortal mighty one. I'm immersed in incomprehensible love, incomprehensible torture because of his passion. All that concerns his being is imparted to me also. Up to now, Jesus has been bringing me to know about and to have a presentiment of this grace, but today he granted me it to me. I will not even dare to dream about it. My heart is in ceaseless ecstasy, as it were, although outwardly nothing disturbs my contact with my neighbor or my attending to various matters. Nothing is capable of interrupting my ecstasy, nor can anyone suspect it, because I have asked God to protect me from detection by people. And together with this grace, they entered my soul a whole ocean of light, enabling me to understand God and myself. Amazement overwhelms me entirely and leads me as if into a new ecstasy, aroused by the fact that God has deigned to descend to me, who am so little. The kind of reporter, the sentiment with Jesus, one mind, one heart. You think we are very close with Jesus, but our heart is really far away. We don't share much, we dare not say. We want to share his passion. But anyway, whatever you are doing every day, you just say yes to the will of God. Already we are taking part of the passion. No, our life is a passion. Right? Our life is passion of Christ in a light way. At 3 o'clock, I prayed prostrate in the form of a cross for the whole world. Jesus' mortal life was coming to an end. I heard his 7 words. Then he looked at me and said, "Beloved daughter of my heart, you are my solace amidst terrible torments. Give consolation to the Lord." Well, at times you can do the same. Same sentiment of Faustina, always ready to offer. Jesus is commanding me to make a novena before the Feast of Mercy. And today I'm to begin it for the conversion of the whole world and for the recognition of the divine mercy. So that every soul will praise this word of Jesus. So that every soul will praise my goodness. I desire trust for my creatures. Encourage souls to place great trust in my faithfulness, mercy. Let the weak, sinful soul have no fear to approach me. For even if it had more sins than there are grains of sand in the world, all would be drowned in the unmerciful depths of my mercy. Trust. Of course, you have to become to say sorry to not, no, not just to immerse that you continue to live in sin. That's not true. No, that's not. Trust his love, because many people doesn't trust in his love. Oh, already I'm so sinful. No hope. That's a thing. That's an evil spirit. Make us lose hope. And Jesus wants this hope. Listen back to the word of Jesus. So that every soul will praise my goodness. I desire trust for my creatures. Encourage souls to place great trust in my faithless mercy. Let the weak, sinful soul have no fear to approach me. For even if it had more sins than there are grains of sand in the world, all would be drowned in the unmeasurable depths of my mercy. When Jesus had given up his last breath, my soul dissolved from the pain. As for a long time, I could not come to myself. I found some relief in tears. The one whom my heart had come to love has died. Will anyone understand my grief? In the evening, over the radio, I heard hymns, that is, psalms sung by priests. It bursts into tears, and all the pain was renewed in my soul. And I wept sorrowfully, unable to find appeasement in this pain. Then I heard a voice in my soul. Do not cry. I'm not suffering anymore. And for the faithfulness with which you accompanied me in my sufferings and death, your own death will be a solemn one, and I will accompany you in the last hour. Beloved pearl of my heart, I see your love so pure, purer than that of the angels, and all the more so because you keep fighting. For your sake, I bless the world. I see your effort to please me, and it delights my heart. Simple, but perfect, pure love for Jesus. Learn to have this love for Jesus. I'm not saying that you are not pure, but kind of wholeness together, whatever you have. Tell Jesus, you can do the same sentiment with the Lord before the Blessed Sacrament. You be another little Faustina, although you're not a nun, but in your place, you can offer the same. Follow her footpath, you know. Important is her love for Jesus. That's important. Not just we spread the message of divine mercy and then you lose yourself. No. After these words, I wept no more, but thanked the Heavenly Father for having sent me his Son after the work of the redemption of mankind. Okay, we stop here today. We learned that's more important. Quiet. Prayerful and quiet, and no gossips. Then you can hear the word of the Holy Spirit. If you have too many things, too many radios, too many phone calls, keep your way from the Lord. Because we have the Holy Spirit in our inside. But you have too worrisome, then you do not trust much. Trust his protection, and this is our day. Let us live as his Faustina, his Holy Thursday.